The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, you didn't come to the wrong place all the time. Sometimes you can come to the right place. Every so often, even a blind squirrel finds an acorn every once in a while. Law of averages. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Thank you for joining me here, along with my compadres, Andrew Krucek, producer man, and Eric Dumont, call screamer, whose little daughter... Hey, Eric, your little daughter a year old yet? Something like that? He's on the phone. He's not answering. Yes, he says. She is a year old. Year and 2 months. At what point do you stop counting months in your age? And then you resume at some point. How old are you, sir? I'm 86 and 7 months. At some point, you start counting the months again. Okay, program. Doctor is in. By the way, if you're going to be a psychologist, you have to say okay a lot, because that's part of where we're at. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. The program, number 877-573-7825, 877-57 equal to get on the air, pretty much. I mean, we can't guarantee everybody's going to get on the air, but there's a pretty good chance. You talk to Eric first, he gets your question, your comment. You can help other people, you can ask a question about your own situation, whether it's kids, whether it's adults, across the board. We get as many questions, truly, about adults as we do children. What else? Faith intersecting with psychology. If you have a particularly good suggestion, idea, thought, you are my wire service. We will take those and use them to help someone. I can then take all of those at some point down the road, put them in books, and make a whole lot of money. Thanks are in order. Jupiter, Palm Beach, Lagatus. What a great trip that was. And I thank you, very kind folks. And the San Antonio Regina Chaley Group on Friday night. Thank you so very, very much. And this coming weekend, heading down to Charlotte. If you're in the Charlotte area, that talk information is on my website. This came in, before I get to your calls, before I get to the monologue, this came in. You know, the Catholic Church oftentimes had to call a council. And the council confirmed an understood teaching. Contrary to what I heard when I was out of the church and in the evangelical world, that the councils got together and made up new doctrine, made up new morality. The councils essentially said, no, we are going to have to come out and state this is in fact our teaching. Analogy, a pastor friend of mine said, if someone says, well, you're not 64. Well, yes, I am. Well, you're not. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No. It's always been understood. No. So you pull out your license and you show them your license. Your license didn't make you 64. You were 64. Your license confirmed the fact that you were 64. Well, Carrie, who is a regular listener to this program, said that, where is she here? There's a series of threads here. Let me go back. I have to go in reverse, I guess. She said she was in a loop, and she gave out some information that I had shared over the air about obsessive compulsive disorder. The person that she was sharing some of this with essentially was not only skeptical, but probably hostile. And the person said, yeah, what credentials does he have, you know? So she went to my website, and it says, your website mentions a BA, MA, and a PhD. But not where. I didn't know that, Carrie. I don't go to my website, so I don't know. And she said, well, maybe what's this degree in? Some kind of flaky degree or something? You just call yourself a PhD and a doctor? And I thought, well, I never had to say anything about this. Well, I'm going to take out my license and say, okay, here's my age. The PhD is in clinical psychology, also with a specialty area in research. That's what it is. Clinical is oftentimes viewed as the hardest of psychologies to get into. It's the competition to get into clinical psychology. So to clarify that, we're not talking about some concocted, made-up PhD or PhD in geology. That's what it is. Enough of that. I have to admit, not just from a moral perspective. And Andrew, I'm going to probably go a little longer on this monologue here. Not just from a moral perspective, but from a perspective of a natural human being. Forgive the redundancy. Recently, of course, there was the law passed in New York where you could kill a baby being born. And it was cheered. Was celebrated. You don't have to be a religious person to be distressed by this. Yesterday, in Congress, a law was defeated, completely, almost universally voted down by one particular party. The law was a very simple law. Very simple. It essentially said, if a baby is born after an abortion was attempted, and the baby lived, and this happens. Okay, when you have a late-term baby, and you inject it with something, and it doesn't kill it, the baby is born. It's alive. The law said, it is a human. Now, first thing, it's sick that we have to pass a law to say a baby is a human. We're not talking abortion here. This is the baby outside of the womb. Well, almost universally, one political party voted against passage of that law. Now, any clear-thinking person, my opinion, would look at this and say, well, what is it? If it's not a baby, or if it is a baby, but we're saying let it die, what are we saying? Now, there's two things that strike me about this. One, as a psychologist, my career is oriented towards helping people to think better. Dr. Ray, who do you think you are telling them how to think? Well, one might assume that because they come to me, they're not thinking or behaving as they would like, and it is hurting their life. So just maybe I can help them sort through their thinking to live better and behave better. And I recognize that the vast majority of people are not guided by reason. Sad, sad reality. You can't be guided by reason and say that a baby being born, by accident I guess, can be let to die. How is there any reason? You don't have to be a religious person. You don't even have to believe in God. How is there any reason or logic that says you can do this? The only reason is, now you can color it up with all kinds of justifications. Well, you know, it's a woman's right. Well, you know, no, this has nothing to do with abortion. Not at all. This is a live baby. A baby. The Godfather. The movie The Godfather. Luca Brasi. Luca Brasi was the enforcer of The Godfather. The other crime families were absolutely afraid of Luca Brasi. He was considered indestructible. And if Luca Brasi was after you, you were in big trouble. But, according to the book, Luca Brasi had a very, very, very dark secret that he didn't want anyone to know about. And it was a rumor, and it was an ugly rumor. And it would have ruined Luca Brasi's reputation. The rumor was that somehow he was involved in killing a baby. But it never came exactly to light. Now here's a guy who was an assassin. He killed people for the crime family. But even they said it would be completely unconscionable if, in fact, this was true. What, have we become Luca Brasi's? Are we basically saying it is all right? I don't care what words you use to hide it. And I think as a psychologist, this is what frustrates me the most. My world is teaching people to think better. But I realize when they want to justify anything, you can't get past it. I would love to sit in Congress and say, please tell me, how did you decide this is okay? And I'd hear all their shibboleths and their platitudes and their justifications that are about a half an inch deep. For example, I heard one just today on the news. The person, and I believe it was a presidential candidate, said, we can't put the government in between a woman and her doctor. Are you kidding me? You put the government in between everything. I got railings on my stairs that essentially the government said had to be a certain height. When I get in my car, the government says I have to wear my seatbelt. If I go to my doctor and my doctor is willing to cut off five of my fingers, the government would nail him. Wait a minute. It's a decision between me and my doctor. This is ridiculous. This is lunacy. I, as a psychologist, have dealt with craziness. I worked in state hospitals. I worked in geriatric centers. There's a lot of craziness. Craziness because brains didn't work right. These are brains that supposedly work right. And yet, they have found thinking that says it's not a baby, it's not a person. Call it what you will. It's delusional. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL. I'm Dr. Ray.
More than that, Dr. Ray, I wanted your opinion on what you thought.
Well, I'm on her side, and I don't know exactly what her side is.
Dr. Ray has more great advice coming up.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by a contribution made from our day sponsor. To remind you that Sacred Heart KFC Council 8659 is once again putting on its world-famous fish dinner every Friday in Lent. Dine in or take out, just go to 3400 South Adams Road in Auburn Hills. It's world-famous because Deacon Tom says so.
Do you know that simple maintenance on your furnace can extend the life of it? Hi, I'm Ron Garmo from Running Right Heating and Cooling. Replacing a dirty filter can eliminate more than 50% of all house calls and save you money. With a simple service agreement, we can come out twice a year and clean and check your furnace and AC, which could prevent bigger problems. Call today at 248-884-1704 or go to Running Right Heating and Cooling on Facebook. We are working to keep your systems running right.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room.
We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Music is that you guys are picking out? Oh, come on. This is like Little Puppies and Kittens and Sunsets. Not that those are bad. Sir is softening me up. Gee. I had one lady write me, believe it or not, she said she's not going to listen to the show anymore because she doesn't like the bumper music. Not what you're doing. You're killing my audience. I've actually lost people down to 131 now. 877-573-7825. Tom from Omaha, Nebraska, disagrees with something I said about scruples last week. Now, that really, really, really bothers me. I hope it's not sinful. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Dr. Ray, thanks. First, let me say that your monologue was superb. It was beautiful. God bless you.
Does that soften your disagreement with me from my scruples thing?
No.
Okay. All right. We can. Hey, I'm ready. Go ahead. Give me your best shot.
All right. I have scruples. Really severe. And I take a drug every morning. I take two little pills, and I'm 95% better. You said things like that it was due to pride and kind of irrational. Well, it is irrational. You know, it's not a rational thing. And but St. Alphonsus Liguori, one of the greatest moral theologians in the church, he had critical, severe scruples his entire life. St. Teresa of Lisieux had them. She said you couldn't imagine it unless you ever had them. That's the truth. Ignatius of Loyola had them, and he actually wrote out a thing for confessors as to how to help people with it. And it's still used today. You try to work against them, which I was never able to do. Mine were too severe.
Well, let me jump in here, Tom. Okay, but let me jump in, because you're bringing up several points. Did you also hear that I said there is indication that scrupulosity can also be kind of a subset of obsessive-compulsive thinking? Well, not the compulsive as the behavior, but obsessive thinking. It's also a subset, and that might indicate why your medication works. Okay, that's the first thing I said. I said, I didn't say the scrupulosity was caused by pride. I said there could be a pride component to it when someone is so concerned about behaving scrupulously black and white because, well, it kind of implies a little bit like Neo-Pelagianism, that we're gonna work our way to God by being just ever so good and God's going to help us out. I didn't say that was the only cause. Now, here's the bad news. You ready for the bad news?
Yes.
A meta-analysis is essentially looking at all the surveys and studies done in one area. A meta-analysis of drugs used to treat obsessive-compulsive disorder have found that over and above placebo,
In other words, placebo is a drug expectation effect. It's not really a pharmacological effect. It is only a small percentage of people who actually benefit from the drug. The rest of the time, it's because they think the drug is going to benefit them. Now, I don't know if that's your case. I don't know if that's your case at all. And the fact that those two pills really help you. What are they, by the way, Tom?
Lexapro.
Okay. Yeah, it's an antidepressant. And perhaps also, helps with thinking. But given all that, if it does that for you and it's being monitored, hey, great, wonderful, tremendous. Not to imply that you have a pride component. Although, I think you would do well to say, what is it about my intense scrupulosity that makes me think I have to be this perfect, and I better make sure that I'm ever so perfect, far and above, what the church would say? Because people who are scrupulous oftentimes consider themselves sinning when the church wouldn't say they're sinning. And as a psychologist, I always ask, what's your motive for that? Why are you putting standards upon yourself in the area of sinfulness that the church wouldn't put on you? What are you saying? So that's really where I was at. But I do appreciate that, my friend. Thank you for the call. Good stuff. Now, where we are today. Where there. MJ from NE. Another one from Nebraska, because I know the Spirit Radio Network in Nebraska blankets the state with 8 or 10 or 12 stations. I'm not sure how many they got now. Hello, MJ.
Hello, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I didn't take it.
Eric did.
Oh, sure. Well, thanks, Eric. Our oldest daughter gave birth to her first child in December, and our first granddaughter. Grandchild altogether. And almost immediately after she gave birth in the hospital, we went to see them. They live in another state. And she immediately started to say how terrible parents we were, how abusive we were when she was a child, and that she wasn't really sure if she could trust us around her child, that she has to protect her child from us. So we're not really sure. I mean, she brought up stuff. Now, it was a strained relationship with our daughter, our oldest daughter. But there was a period of about 7-8 years where it was just, you know, it was just great. But then right after this, it's just been like she's kind of become the moral compass, that whenever we do, you know, say anything to our other children, they're all older now, and we say anything to our other children, where she's kind of the moral compass. So we really don't know, you know, how to react to that. What do we do? So we're kind of looking for some guidance on that.
These are the toughest questions I get, because they imply that there is some way to reach your daughter. That there is some kind of thinking, reasoning, approach that your daughter will soften. So one thing I've learned in my life, first of all, that's sadly not always the case. As a matter of fact, it's the more resistant someone is to a relationship, the less likely reason is going to move them. Kind of ties into a little bit of my monologue today, which is people don't live by reason. A couple of things strike me here, MJ. And of those two things, I'll wait until after the break. You stay there, please. This is Dr. Ray, 877-573-7825. Number to call to get onto the program.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59, and in Dearborn, west of Telegraph. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
Myler & Zipka Certified Public Accountants is proud to support Ave Maria Radio Programming. Myler & Zipka offer great services to WDEO listeners in Metro Detroit for all of your accounting and tax needs. Call Ken Zipka and let him know you appreciate him helping to keep Catholic Radio alive in this area. Ken can be reached at 734-930-5500. That's 734-930-5500 or on the web at mspccpa.com.
As a mother, I have learned to become careful with my words. In Proverbs, it says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. As a parent, are you speaking words that bring light and help your children grow, or are they words that darken the spirit? Are we using words to build people up or destroy them? Are they filled with hate or love, bitterness or blessings, complaining or compliments, victory or defeat? Words are tools that can be used to lift someone up or beat them down. Our words shape the lives of our children and our own future. I said to my daughter one night that God had loved her so much and that He had great plans for her future. He does? I did not know that, Mama. He does, I said. You just have to always trust Him. Love you, Mama. Love you, baby. And just like that, she closed her eyes and fell asleep with a smile on her face. May our words always bring others joy and peace. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo, a communications evangelist.
Teaching you to think more like a shrink. Dr. Rigorendi here. Thank you for joining me on The Doctor Is In. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. I'm talking to MJ out of Nebraska. Situation is this. Oldest daughter had her first child a couple months ago. Well, she decided, after the child came, that to let it all hang out. Mom and dad are abusive, nasty, horrible people. MJ says, yeah, we didn't have the greatest relationship with her. But we want to know, can we reach her? Ah, that is the question, is it not? Hi, MJ.
Yes.
Still, okay, sir. Well, I would suggest that you ask her for details. Tell us.
She's given us all those.
Okay. And, okay, so after all the details, after this horrid picture that she put together of you, she's decided you're just not good to be around. Now, my gut is telling me two things. If it were bigger, it would tell me more things, but I don't have a big gut. One, she's carrying a ton of resentment from growing up. Just a ton. She's just decided you didn't understand her, you didn't parent her right, you all along, you favored your other siblings over her. That's one. Two, you said she's the moral compass of the family. Does that mean that she's not any longer a believer, and she's decided that the new morality of the culture is the better way to be? Is that it?
Yeah, she has not gone to church probably for the last 5-6 years. Only when she comes home or we go there will she go to church. So she's pretty much taken that out, you know, taken church out of the equation.
Okay, so this is a standard dynamic. You're religious. I hate the way you think. I hate the way you raised me. I don't believe that religion thing is anything that other than constrictive and suffocating and horridly misguided and abusive. And since you did all that, forget it. I would think the first step in trying to see your little grandchild would be to say, would you be willing that if we visit, you don't ever leave us alone in the room at all with the baby? We're just here. We're totally
in front of you. We will give you no opinions about how to raise this child. We will not make any comments, anything. We will just want to see the baby and just experience the love of that baby. If she's not willing to do that, then she's got some horridly deep-seated resentments towards you. And one more point. I am seeing this as an epidemic that so many young adult children are completely intolerant toward their parents. It is almost as though they've become, and I don't say this is your daughter, I don't know. I'm speaking generically. They've become adult brats. My parents didn't do it the way I want. And then they just punish the parents in every way they can. It's an epidemic. As a matter of fact, MJ, I'm seeing more clients like that than I ever have. And I think it's
that's
a reflection.
That's totally true because all of a sudden, when our kids got older, we became just totally stupid, like we were totally inept of.
Yes.
You know,
and you're stupid because of your religion? Because of the way you think about traditional morals, and the culture is much more enlightened than you are, you Neanderthal throwback, and that is what is happening. As they reject religion, they are rejecting their parents. Good luck with that, my friend. Tom, Erie, Pennsylvania. Okay, clear me up. This little procedural thing, Tom, I'm not really sure this is the way it is, but go ahead, clear me up.
Hi, Doctor. Well, what transpired in the U.S. Senate yesterday is something that happens a lot in the legislative process, and basically it was a stalking horse. The vote was a stalking horse. It was just used to cover up the true purpose of the majority party, and that was to the Republicans to make the Democrats
so what
look bad.
However, don't get me mad, Tom. So what? So what?
The vote was not on the substance of the matter. It was on a procedural matter.
Tom, you're making my point. Tom, you're making my point. Even if it was procedural, they said we don't even want it to come up. And even if the Republicans are saying, well, we just want to get you on the record for your stance. What is wrong with that? Is there any problem with saying, do you believe that a baby's a baby? Like it was a trap? That's what I'm saying. I don't know where your stance is on this, but I think it reflects what I said in my monologue, which is somehow there's a justification. They didn't vote against this. They voted against the procedure.
Right. The procedural matter, right. It was just whether to go ahead with the vote, okay? And they voted.
They didn't want the vote.
It didn't matter to the Republican Party. They controlled the calendar. They controlled the calendar. When they want something to pass, they make sure they have the votes before
Tom,
they put it up on the calendar.
Is it a baby? I got a question for you. Is it a baby or isn't it? When it's born alive?
Yeah, it's a baby.
Okay, so what would be wrong with saying we want to pass a law that says let's protect this baby?
It's a stalking horse. They're just trying to shame the party.
Wait a minute. I think you should shame somebody that says it's okay to kill a baby. I think they should be shamed terribly.
And the thing, Doctor, is it doesn't happen. Because
what doesn't happen?
It's illegal to kill a baby outside the womb. That's the law now. So, you know, this is all a stalking horse. Okay. Democratic Party, and haven't put up a vote.
I think you're sticking up for those who would say, we don't need a law about this. Sure, let's just vote against the procedure. I don't get it. I don't get it at all that you could justify this from a moral or a logical standpoint. I don't understand. But keeping in mind, if you say it's a stalking horse, there are movements in several states that are saying we want to make abortion absolutely legal till the time of birth. And if you do that, there are going to be babies born alive. Then those states will decide, as it almost passed in Virginia by one vote, that the states will decide if, in fact, it's okay for the mother and the doctor to decide what to do about it.
And I think whether you call it a stalking horse or you don't, this was an attempt to say, we're not going to allow that.
Wait, so,
I got to run. Tom, I do appreciate the point. I think you brought up something I talked about in the monologue. Boy, I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm getting older. I'm getting feistier. I can't sit back and go, my gosh, if we're getting to the point where we go, well, it was a trick. It was just a trick. That's all it was. Trick or no trick. This is a baby. If you can kill a baby, if you can let a baby die in front of you, what is that saying?
Old St. Mary's Roman Catholic Church in downtown Detroit, in Greektown, invites all to the monthly First Friday High Mass in the Tridentine form. Experience the authentic Catholic traditional Latin Mass, including the church's rich musical tradition of Gregorian chant and sacred polyphony. Please join them this Friday, March 1st at 7 p.m. Free and guarded parking in the church's lot and a reception in the parish center follows the Mass. For more details, visit oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
Indulge before Lent and make a joyful noise about it. On March 2nd, Spiritus Sanctus Academy is celebrating its annual benefit gala at Fox Hills Country Club in Plymouth. This event is packed with delights, games, dinner, live entertainment, and amazing live auction items, including dinner with WDEO's own Al and Sally Cresta. Besides helping meet the school's financial obligations, you will aid in making scholarships accessible to those in need. Go to SpiritusSanctus.org. That's SpiritusSanctus.org.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds don't, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objectives, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Deep breaths. Deep breaths. Yeah, I got my pulse back down to 60. Yeah. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for joining me. Let me see what that one says. I want to see what Eric's typing up here. Well, let me do this. Let me divert for a moment to a much less intense topic. Cindy from Bismarck is calling. The importance of eating family meals together, and she says, "Which book talked about this, Dr. Ray?" Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, I've become a little lazy as the kids have gotten older, and I thought one of your books had talked about the importance of eating meals together.
Back to the Family.
Carving that out.
Back to the Family, 1990, put out by Simon & Schuster. We interviewed strong families in all 50 states. We said, you got great kids. Tell us about it. What about your discipline? What about your traditions? What about your rituals? What about your history? What are your frustrations? What are your best discipline? Do you spank? Don't you spank? What about religion? And when they talked about communication, they said there were several places where communication really occurred. One, of course, was bedtime for the littler kids. Little kids start talking about anything at bedtime because they stall like crazy. Two was in the car. Especially with teenagers, and especially, but now this was back before the widespread use of cell phones.
So the parents got in the car and turned the radio off, and the kids drove with them, and especially at night. Three, doing chores together. One mother discovered that as she helped her kids to do chores together, they just started talking. And four was mealtimes. They said that they decided. And one of the things they did about mealtimes is, first of all, I mean, you could extrapolate this to now. No phones. And no phones when we go out to eat, where you're putting it there, and you got four people there, and they all have different phones. Okay. No television on. Obviously, no headsets. Any kind of technological input was not allowed. They did allow babies at the table, though. They did allow babies, and their babies could be incredibly disruptive, but they're babies, and we let them live, I hope. So, that's what it was, Sandy. Back to the Family was the book. Alrighty?
Okay.
All right, dear.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Let's see. Tony from Pennsylvania, he's got a question. He's confused about this. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
You said that
Hello?
According... Yes, sir. You're there. You're on the air. You said that according
yeah.
to current law, a baby born in the United States is a U.S. citizen protected under the Constitution. That's exactly right. Now, the problem is the law that was brought up in the Senate, as our one of our previous callers here said, well, it was a trick. It was a trick to get those those wascally senators tried to get certain political party members on record as voting it down. Either way, yes, it is the baby is a U.S. citizen. However, there is a movement, a radical movement, that is really gaining momentum toward abortion. But really, in effect, abortion is legal at any time, but there are a lot of states that say no, and if somebody takes it to the court, they would probably win. But at this point, I think it was a move, it was a proactive move that essentially says, we got to stop this from going any further. They knew it wasn't going to pass. They knew it wasn't going to pass at all. So I agree with our previous caller, who essentially said, well, they were just trying to get people on record. Yes, yes, they were. Okay, what's the problem with that? If, in fact, somebody says, well, I'm not going to commit myself to protecting a baby, okay, then say it. Don't hide behind it then. Well, that's tricky to make me say that. It's really tricky. It's not tricky. Somebody asked me, Ray, are you in favor of slavery? Well, don't make me answer that question. You're just being tricky. You're trying to trap me. Well, are you or aren't you? So, you're right, Tony, at one level. But I think at another level, it was a move designed to say, let's not let this go any further. Thanks, Tony. Thank you very much. Let's go to. Well, I'm gonna run into break on this. Anonymous again from Nebraska. Everybody in Nebraska is listening today. 17 Spirit Radio Nebraska listeners. Hi, Anonymous.
Hello.
Yeah, that's a real blind side, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
How'd you find out?
I just had a feeling that something was off, and I had asked him before and several times, actually, if there was anything he was watching or anything going on outside of the marriage, and he looked me in the eye each time and said no. And so I started going through his Facebook account and saw, because we have our passwords open, because I never felt like there was an issue of having to hide that if we weren't doing anything. And so I looked through recent videos and kept looking as I kept finding things on there and had a conversation with him about it. And then he also admitted to kind of the other acts as well.
Does he want to stop?
He said that he had been praying about it more. The videos he didn't see as anything wrong because he said they weren't as revealing as actual pornography. And it was so infrequent that it was more out of curiosity than anything. And the actual, I guess, other acts that he was doing by himself, he said he had been praying about and just got to the point where he was so addicted. But, I mean, I could tell something was going on because it just didn't seem like a meaningful relationship any longer.
Does he admit to anything else? Does he admit to saying, I'm not satisfied with you, I'm looking around for other people? Any part of that?
He won't admit that. He swears that there's none of that, but he also swore there was none of this, too. So it makes it hard to believe him.
And how does he react when you say that? When you say, this has really affected me. It's affected my ability to trust what you say. It's devastating to my relationship. What does he say? You're overreacting?
Well, when I first showed him the videos, before I even knew about the other acts, he laughed because he thought it was such a joke that it's not a big deal. And then I think once he saw how hurt it actually was, there seemed to be some sort of remorse. He said that he's willing to work on things and that he's not lying and, you know, let him prove that to you and he'll delete his Facebook. But the problem is I really don't want to be in a relationship like that where I have to worry or make him delete a Facebook account or feel like, what is he doing? And question if what he's telling me right now is the answer, if he's been lying for years.
This guy named Chris Evert, who has material on this, and, help me out here, Andrew. The gentleman... I've been on talks with him. He's got the Australian accent. Deals very much with this. I'm sorry, and I can't bring his name to mind, but I know him very, very well. And as soon as you hang up, I'm going to know it. If you Google pornography help or pornography webs or intervention websites, this guy's name will come up. All right. He deals a lot with this from a very Christian perspective. See if your husband is at all willing to look at this. I think your husband really needs to know. And I tell this to guys in therapy, you big dummy. Do you realize what you're doing to your wife? Whether you think it's nothing or not is irrelevant. You don't understand how she's reacting to this. Well, she's overreacting. This is innocent. This is no big deal. That doesn't change me. It doesn't affect anything. This is a normal guy stuff.
Right.
Ugh. I think you really need to make him understand that if he wants to have the relationship with you, the warm relationship with you that he had or he thought he had, then this is not something that can be part of that relationship. Right. Now, I'm not saying you break up. I'm not advocating divorce here, but I'm just simply saying it's hard for you, very understandably, to feel warm and intimate and caring and trusting to somebody where you're not sure if you can.
Right.
But I would say this, dear, one thing here. Do not take it personally. Do not say, obviously, I'm deficient in some way. Obviously, I'm not attractive enough. Obviously, I'm not exciting enough. Obviously, there's something missing in me. Don't do that. Don't do that at all, because it's not true. Thank you, Claire. God be with you. This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
If you have any problems, talk to me, and I will help you.
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Jussie Smollett became a national hero when he claimed he had been the victim of a vicious racist and homophobic attack at the hands of MAGA hat-wearing thugs. But he's quickly becoming a villain as his story unravels. Pastor Greg Livingston of Chicago joins us with a look at what this story shows us about race relations and identity politics.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, Jesus Christ said, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." During Lent, we journey to regain a pure heart, and the vision and sacred art can help us do just that.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO Ave Maria Radio.
Practically an epidemic. 20% of Americans suffer from anxiety disorders, and millions more wrestle with worry and stress on a daily basis. For us as Christians, all that worry gets mixed up with a lot of guilt. How can we stop worrying and start living an anxiety-free life? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and in my new book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, you'll learn how to respect how God made us and build new habits of thinking, communicating, and acting that will help set you free from worry. You can get your copy of Unworried and any of my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
Well, we had a call that told me to relax, and then the call fired me back up. Here's the gist of it. She called and she said that I was rude, too intense to the gentleman who called and said, "No, no, 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 this was a trick. This was a trick by the Republicans to get the Democrats on record for voting the procedure down so that we could not have to say that a baby born alive needs to be allowed to live." And I went off. Of course I did. She said, "You were rude to him." Yeah, you want to call it rude? Maybe. I think I was intense. We're talking a baby's life here. And the point was made that he was making the point that I made in the monologue. You find a justification. Instead of saying, "Oh, okay, well, you know, it is a baby. But, you know, it was tricky the way they did that. They made the other party look like, oh, they would have to vote against it." Exactly my point. If you can't get intense about protecting the life of a baby, what can you get intense about? Oh, but rudeness doesn't help anybody. Well, there comes a time when a certain amount of anger is justified. I'm not angry at the guy. I'm angry at his thinking. And sadly, his thinking is the majority, or at least it seems like it's the majority. A lot of calls up there I'm not going to get to, but I want to, and oh, she also said stay away from politics. This isn't politics. This is thinking. This is fascinating stuff on how human beings can justify certain conduct, certain behavior. This has no matter. This is not politics. This is morality. And it doesn't have to be a morality based in God. It's a morality based in humanness. It's okay to kill an innocent human or to let it die. Our Lord with the Good Samaritan. He saw a guy on the side of the road, beat up on the road to Jericho. What did he do? Our Lord said, "That's love of your neighbor." He took him and he cared for him. He could have said, "Hey, I didn't kill him. I didn't beat him up. Let him die." Oh, sorry. Italian in me's coming out. Claire, Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. She's basically just going to emphasize what exactly the testimony was in Congress. Claire, hurry up, dear. You got about a minute and a half.
Okay, yeah, no, I just wanted to reflect on this discussion and take everybody back to the Kermit Gosnell case in Philadelphia, where they discussed this exact issue. And the intriguing thing was, as part of the testimony, they had a professional abortionist come into the testimony, and they asked her specifically today, what would happen if a baby was born alive? And the procedure today in her firm was to provide comfort care. And they explicitly asked her, what does that mean? And she said, we would keep the baby warm, but we would not provide hydration or nutrition. And the baby...
Isn't that a nice way of saying we would let it die?
That's infanticide. Correct.
And she does this right now. This is being done, right? That's the point.
The point is, I feel we don't know it because of the cloak of secrecy that surrounds the abortion law.
There's no question. There is no question about this. And that's what people don't realize. And that gentleman who says, it was just a trick. Wasn't just a trick. We're trying to.
It's not
keep
a trick.
Babies.
It's hidden
no.
from us. We just
yes.
don't know it's happening. It's very, very tragic.
Yes. Thank you, sweetheart, for clearing that up. I appreciate that very, very much. By the way, I was texted. Thank you very much. Matt Frad, for our spouse who called in and was hurt about her husband's seeking out pornography. Matt Frad. And Matt, forgive me. I'm sorry. This is happening more as I get older. Thanks so much. I'm calm now, but I hope I'm still fighting for the right thing. I'm Dr. Ray Walker. God holds your kids tightly by the hand, no matter what age.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.